Men hold a grave responsibility. We are the ones that God holds responsible for the upbringing of our children. Our wives are tremendously helpful in the upbringing of children. And I know that many children have to be raised by single moms because daddy's run away. But it is still our responsibility to make sure that our children know the truth. And the one thing that we have to do is to exemplify the truth before our children. More is caught than taught. Stand with me, if you will, in honor of God's word. Romans chapter 11, beginning with verse 13. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not thyself against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fail, severity. But toward thee, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this picture that you give us of how the branch of our family grows in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you would remove anything from my heart that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me, and use me as your instrument. Give me the words that you would have me to preach. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now I want you to see that the branches that are being talked about here are families. You see, God deals with families. He always has. We all go back to Adam He is in our ancestry, and it comes down through branches. You know, when you get down as far as the flood, then you've got Noah, and he had three sons, and there that was three different branches that grew. And so they kept going. Each one had their branch, and off of that, many other branches. And so your family is a branch, and God deals with that as a unit. Until we understand that, a lot of scripture won't make sense. And so what we want to look at today is how we deal with the responsibility of passing on to those in our line the truth of God's word. Now notice the cause of the branch being cut off. Verse 19 and 20 says this: Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. Now notice that as the branch is going along here, my dad was a man of faith. He didn't grow up in a family that was a family of faith. They were heathen, pretty much. And my mom was raised by Christians. And so when she married my dad, she influenced him, and he became a Christian. And when my dad got saved, he really got into religion. He really got into salvation. he began to trust God almost completely. And he passed that on. Now, notice that that branch that was broken off is now grafted in. And that's what he's talking about here. Why was it broken off? Somewhere down the line, somebody in my family tree stopped believing in the Lord. You don't go to heaven because your parents are Christians. Parents have a job to pass on to their children the truth of God's word. And when we pass on the truth of God's word, then our children have a responsibility to believe God's word. And if we don't believe, then we cut off that branch. You see how that works. And that branch is no longer a Christian branch. The influence is not for Christian, but it's for evil. Now notice here, the Lord talks about this in the pruning process here in John's Gospel, John chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Now let's break this down. Here we have a family that is connected with Christ. They're trusting Christ, and they're living for Christ, and they're teaching their children. And then their son is born, and he begins to start his own branch. And if that son does not exercise faith in Christ, then that branch is cut off. Whenever a Christian is saved and they do not follow Christ in his teachings, then that branch is cut off. It doesn't take away their salvation, but it takes away their influence for God in the rest of the people that will be born after them. And so God warns us that we must abide in Christ. If you're saved this morning, there's nothing you can do to lose your salvation. But if you don't abide in Christ, you can threaten the salvation of all those that come after you. Because that influence that you have, that influence that causes people to want to be saved, will die when you sever yourself from God and His Word. When you stop serving the Lord, that influence is gone. You have the most powerful influence, fathers, of anybody in the world. Nobody will have more influence than a father in his children's life. That's by design. And so we must take that very seriously, and we must follow God with all of our heart. Now notice the provocation God talks about is a provocation of unbelief. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 through 12. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now understand here, he's talking to Christians. Every one of us go through trials every day. If one of those trials brings you to the place where you begin to doubt God, and you begin not to trust in God, then you are provoking God, and you are ready to be cut off. Now that cutting off is after you. You can't lose your salvation. But he will cut off all those that come after you. Now how does he do that? He cuts off that influence. Let me explain something. If a child is raised by godly parents who love the Lord, who study the Bible at home, who bring their kids to Sunday school, bring them to church, teach them every way they can about Jesus, that child has a real good chance of being saved. On the other hand, if that family says, all right, we're saved now, we don't have to go to church anymore, we can go fishing on Sunday, we can do whatever we want to do on Sunday, we don't have to go to church anymore, they stay saved, but the kids never hear the gospel. And pretty soon they drift way away. They never hear the gospel. The chances of them being saved are greatly diminished. That's the reason God puts that responsibility on us, to make sure they hear the gospel. It is important that we not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. It is important that we have Bible studies at home, teaching our children. It is important that we live godly before our children. Parenting is one of the most important things in our culture. Did you know America's in bad shape, and we can blame the government, we can blame this, we can blame that, but the state of our culture is the individual responsibility of families. Parenting is a job that God gives to us. It's not rendered to the state. The state is not to raise our children. We must raise our children. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. Now, if we're going to do that, first thing, we got to know how he should go, right? We've got to know how to deal with sin in our own life before we can teach our children how to deal with sin. You see, Jesus died to take care of our sin. Jesus died on the cross. And when he was on the cross, God the Father had all of the sins of the world on him. Every one of us. And he paid the penalty for our sins. And we've been saved by putting our faith in Jesus Christ. Our children have to be saved the same way. Once we're saved, we're sealed into the day of redemption. But then a process of sanctification begins. And in that process, we have to study God's word. And we have to let God control our lives. We talked in Sunday school this morning about sowing and reaping. In the process of sowing and reaping, we have to understand that only God can sow good seeds through us. We have to trust God in everything. We have to trust God with our lives, whether he makes us successful or whether he makes us a failure. I find myself, when I pray many times, making God a list of what I want him to do. Do you do that? I want you to heal this person. I want you to do this for this person. I want you to do this for me. And that's my will. Now, God, you do it. That's all wrong. You see, when we give God our list of things we want done, then we need to realize that we may not have it all right. We need to say, thy will be done. And mean it from our heart. Look at old Job. Here's Job. He's living a good life by the testimony of God himself. And Job's just rolling along there. And he prayed for his kids all the time. Lord, save my children. Lord, don't let my children sin against you. And make me prosperous. And then he lost everything. Now you see, Job had one thing that many of us lack. And that is, he was willing both to be successful or be a failure by the power of God. And so when we pray, we understand God may choose for me to fail. God may choose for me to not be healthy. He may choose for me to be sick. I have to be willing. Because until I'm willing, all I'm doing is trying to get God to do my will. But God wants us to do His will. So we put ourselves before Him and we say, Lord, this is what I think. But Lord, I don't know. Your will be done. And then whatever He does, accept that. That's trust. And when we trust God that way, God will use us as His instrument. We may or may not be successful. We may or may not be healthy. We may or may not be healed. But we will be God's instrument. That's what we're here for. And God can use many things to bring about the salvation of our children. I heard about a man one time that was a godly man. And he had two sons. And those sons were just wicked. And he prayed for them boys. And he prayed for them. He got sick before he died. And he said, Lord, let me die in peace in front of these boys so that they'll see that a Christian dies in peace. But instead, God had him just racked with pain. And he would just cry out and scream, and he was in torture right up till he finally died. In his mind, that's going to drive those boys away. See, there's nothing to this Christianity. That's what he thought. But the boys, in their own testimony, were walking out of the hospital after their father died. And they said, our father was a good man. If he died like that, what's it going to be for us? Now, God knew what needed to happen. The man just thought he knew. But God knew. And even though the prayer that he prayed was for the souls of his children, the answer to that prayer didn't come the way he thought it was going to come. Folks, the real key to living godly in Christ Jesus is laying your burdens before the Lord and taking whatever He decides as His will. He gives us a caution here. Verse 21 and 22. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest He also spare not thee. Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God. On them which fail, severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in His goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. Now he's talking about the Jews who were the natural branch in their own olive tree, and the Gentiles who were grafted in. And he's saying, God is very severe with those who turn away in unbelief, but He is very good to those who believe. Now, again, the goodness of God does not always look like what we think it ought to look like. The goodness of God is God's business. When the Bible says, casting all your care upon Him because He cares for you, it does not mean that if you will cast your cares on Him, He will do exactly what you want Him to do with your cares. It doesn't mean that. You cast your cares upon the Lord and you say, Lord, whatever you want is what I want. Sometimes it's better to fail than to succeed. Sometimes it's better to be poor than to be rich. Sometimes it's better to be sick than to be healthy. And only God knows. When I pray for health, I pray for wealth, I pray for success. But God knows what I need. I don't think we ought to pray, Lord, make me poor. Lord, make me sick. He'll take care of that Himself. But we need to accept whatever He gives us. And whenever we don't, we become bitter. And it's then that we begin to be cut off. And it is dangerous to our children. And we mentioned sowing and reaping. Let's look at that. Galatians 6, 7 and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Understand that there are consequences to every choice. Sometimes those consequences are good. Sometimes those consequences are bad. The consequences of our sin are used by God to free us from that sin. Let me show you what I mean. If we have a fear, and that fear is overwhelming us, and we live in that fear all the time, then God makes us face that as a consequence until we're able to give it to Him, and then we're free. Remember what Job said? The thing that I greatly feared is come upon me. But at the end, Job was set free. The things that we fear, God deals with. The sins that we have in our life, the consequences of those sins are really good to eliminate those sins. Whenever we have something wrong in us that has to be fixed, the surgery is painful. The recovery is painful. But the result is good. It's the same thing with the consequences of sin. God is not mad at you, Christian, if you sin. God loves you. And the natural consequences of that sin is there to help you see how to get free from it. And God wants to set us free. Sinning has a terrible effect on us and our family. This is what he says here in Exodus 34, 6 through 7. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. If that doesn't scare you, you don't understand it. Some of us face sin that our great-great-great-great-grandfathers have committed. And you may have a strong tendency toward that sin in your life and not understand why. David confessed the sins of his father, saying, I have sinned with my father. And we need sometimes to do that. When we see a strong tendency in our life toward a particular sin, we need to understand that that's probably being passed on. And God wants us to deal with it. God wants us to renounce that sin and to give our lives to Christ 100%. Because if we don't, it'll be passed on to the next generation and they'll have to deal with it. So we can help to set our children free if we deal with all of the vices and all of the sins that have been passed on to us. Everything we do, I want you to listen to this. Everything we do, we share with our children. It is a frightening thing to see what some fathers are doing to their families and what it's going to cost that family when they share in what the father has chosen. Listen to this story. It's a long record of history, but I think it gives us an idea of how God sees families together. You see, God deals with the whole family. And that's frightening. Listen to this. Number 16, beginning with verse 16. And Moses said unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow. Now let me give you a little background. Korah was a very popular, charismatic sort of a fellow. And everybody just flock to him. And so he began to be too big for his britches. And he said, how come Aaron gets to be the priest? I want to be the priest. Let's have a vote. I bet you all the people will vote for me over Aaron to be the priest. And Moses said, people didn't choose Aaron. God did. And so he tells him, get all your company together. Verse 17. And take every man his censer and put incense in them and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers, thou also and Aaron, each of you his censer. They took every man his censer and put fire in them and laid incense thereon and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. They fell upon their knees and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave under that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained to Korah, and all their goods, they and all that appertained to them, went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. There were children, there were wives, there were friends that were influenced to follow Korah. And all of them went into hell. That's a picture, folks. You may not have your family drop off into hell like Korah's family did, but if you don't influence them for the right, they're probably going to drop off into hell when they die. And God wants you to know that. You see, some of us are very fortunate. We have been tremendously blessed to have parents who loved us enough to tell us about Jesus. Others do not. And it is a sad thing. I believe the responsibility of whoever lets the gospel message be neglected in their home is going to bear a great punishment before God, because they send away the chance for so many people. As long as the world goes on, generation after generation are going to be influenced by the sins of the parents. And folks, we have in our hands an opportunity to fix things in America. Look at, God shows us a chance here. Verse 23 and 24. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree. Doesn't matter where you're at this morning. It may be that you have not had the Christian upbringing that others have had. It may be that you have not passed on to your children what you should have passed on. But you can change that. You say, well, I don't know how to change it. I don't know how to turn around. Well, start fresh. That's the key. Start fresh right now. This is the new day. You see, God forgives and he wipes the slate clean. And God is merciful. Listen, the Bible says, God has not dealt with us after our sins, but according to his great mercy. It is by his great mercy that we're not consumed. You see, God loves us. And he loves your family. And he wants your family to be brought to him. And so you can have a fresh start this morning. Isaiah 1:18 says this, Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Isn't that wonderful? If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. You see, you stand at a crossroads today. If you will commit your life to Jesus Christ, everything you've got, and trust Him to do His will, whether it be what you would choose or not what you would choose, and just give Him your life. That's what it means to present your body as a living sacrifice. Do with me whatever you want to do. I'm yours. I'm bought with a price. If you're a Christian, you're not your own. The Bible says, therefore, glorify God in your body. Now, how do we glorify God? Just simply by giving Him control of every aspect of our life so that we accept whatever He gives us. That gets rid of anxiety and worry. Do you know that? If worry and anxiety flare up in your life, it is telling you something. There's something you're hanging on to that God wants you to turn loose. Just turn loose of it. Give it to Him. Because His way is what you would choose if you had all the information that He has. In your fresh start, stand firm on the Word of God. You see, it doesn't matter what you've done in the past. It doesn't matter what your attitude has been in the past. Stand firm. And God will change your life. Listen to Joshua 1, 8 and 9. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. That's a pretty good promise. You see, if I trust the Lord with all my heart and not lean to my own understanding, then God will do in me whatever He wants to do. I couldn't do that if I studied for the rest of my life, because I don't know the will of God all the time. But God does. And God will always lead me according to His will. And He will always do what's right if I submit myself to Him. Then we're going to have to speak to our families. It's not enough just to show Christianity. We've got to speak Christianity. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 12. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. They shall be for as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which He sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou built not, and houses full of good things which thou filledest not, and wells digged which thou diggedest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantedest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Now notice what he's saying here. He says, first off, we have to learn to love the Lord our God with all of our heart. Part of that is trusting Him with all of our heart. So that we love Him and we know He's not going to hurt us. He's going to do what's best for us. We may go through hard times, but it's for the best. And then he said, teach that to your children diligently, to love the Lord with all their heart. Teach it. Don't ever let them see that you're drifting away. Stay close. Then he said, when the Lord blesses you, and he has blessed us, amen? We are a blessed people. We have more than kings in other countries. God says, don't let that turn your heart away from me. So many times, Israel would be in sin. And God would send a deliverer. They would be in bondage and he would deliver them. And they would turn to God with all their heart. And he would bless them. And that blessing would be so great that they would start putting their eyes on the blessing. And they would turn away from God. God would bring somebody in to conquer them. And they would be oppressed. And they would cry out to God and God would send a deliverer. There's a cycle. And so God is warning us of a danger. The more blessed you are, the more apt you are to hang on to what God gives you. God says, hold everything with an open hand. Job is a perfect picture of what that looks like. He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's always the Lord's. If you ever take ownership of what God blesses you with, you're going to hang on to it. If you're just a steward over it, and it's God's, God's free to take it if he wants to. And as long as we have that attitude, we can deal with what God gives us. But when we begin to panic, we begin to be like the man who had the little barn and his crop was too big for it, instead of thanking God for the blessing, he was worried about his barn. You see, so many times we take the responsibility for the things we shouldn't take the responsibility for, and we neglect the responsibility that God has given us. My job and your job as men is to teach our families how to love God. First by showing them, and then by telling them. Everything else is God's responsibility. He said, take no thought for your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. Seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added to you. God takes care of that. You take care of your family. If you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior, Jesus wants to save you. Jesus has paid the price to save you. Your salvation has already been purchased and he has it right here waiting for you. He says, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, which is the word of faith that we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's as simple as that. You make it harder than that, you mess it up. If you're here this morning without Jesus, I challenge you, put your trust in him for salvation. If you're saved and you know that your influence in your family has not been a good influence, then start fresh today. Start building a program that will lead your family to Christ. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your love and your mercy, your goodness. Lord, I pray that your word would not return void, but it will accomplish that for which you sent it. Help us to do your will in everything. Save the soul as near as hell. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.